Welcome to the PW Torch Livecast. I am Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch Weekly Newsletter since 1987, and also PWTorch.com and MMATorch.com. Welcome to the Tuesday, July 19th, 2016 Livecast. I am joined today in studio at Torch Compound North by Torch Senior Columnist Bruce Mitchell and Travis Bryant from EastCoastCast.com. Welcome, Travis.
Hey, guys.
Why don't you welcome me?
Well, because I'm telling Travis to get a little closer to the microphone. He's soft-talking 6 feet away from the microphone, and I'm giving you the speech about how close to be to the microphone ahead of time.
Hey, Wade, everybody. Livecast audience, what up?
Hey, Bruce.
It seems like we just did this.
It does.
Yeah.
Bruce and Travis last night did a 60-some minute recap of Raw right after we got done watching the show last night. And so VIP members got to hear them talk about the show for an hour. They got to hear me recap the show on a separate audio show for VIP members last night. But now we want to know what you thought of the show and get a conversation going here at the Livecast. Our phone number is 646-721-9828. We are using a new setup here in our studio and a new microphone so we can all be here in person live. So hopefully we've got a pretty good sound going here. I know it worked last night for the audio, but with the setup through Blog Talk here, perhaps there's some adjustments we need to make. So we certainly welcome some feedback on that on Twitter. At the Wade Keller is my email. Bruce, you're on Twitter now. How's that going?
Yes, I am. It's going fine. I really am enjoying it. It's wasting my time tremendously. But so far, so good. I've really kind of liked it. So it's been a good deal.
Yeah, good. So how can people follow you?
Oh, how can they follow me? At Mitchell PW Torch. That's at Mitchell PW Torch. I appreciate everybody following me. Nice comments.
Has everybody followed you? Like everybody? You said
everybody,
I
appreciate everybody who has followed me.
Gotcha,
I do
okay.
not appreciate you if you have not followed.
Good. Travis, now, you used to have a very select few people who you found worthy of being able to follow your wit and your witticisms and insights on Twitter, but have you opened that up?
My Twitter is now open at TravLord. If you don't have to request me, and then I line by line, tweet by tweet, scrutinize everything you've said over the and wrote over the last 6 months to deem you worthy or not. So yeah, you just follow me at TravLord, and I don't promise to follow back. But yeah, that's it's there.
We were in New York in May, Travis and I were, and Travis would get a request because I'd include him on one of my tweets at TravLord, and then he'd get a request of a follower, and then I got to spend the next 5 minutes hearing Travis research this person thoroughly. I mean, he practically, you know, was a private detective figuring out if this person's tweets were in any way qualifying to follow him on Twitter, but now everybody can.
Now it's wide open.
Although you will block somebody, right? Or not?
No,
you drive them away.
No, that's Facebook. I block people on Twitter.
Okay, good.
I've only blocked one, and he's a special person. Just don't be a jerk, and you won't get yelled at or blocked.
All right, so tonight is the draft on SmackDown. Just kind of going around the table here before we start going to phone calls. Bruce, did you think that they did a good job overall getting people aware of and motivated to watch the SmackDown draft tonight?
Yeah, I do. I think they did there were two key parts to it, and they're just basic parts, which one of them is they really promoted the draft. They named the general managers, and so that was a big part of it. They promoted it all. They talked about it. They had C-list talent bugging Mick Foley and bugging Daniel Bryan to get drafted. And then I think just having a big impact match, having a main event that was pay-per-view worthy or Sunday night worthy with Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose and having a cliffhanger at the end. That's pretty much everything you can do. With the exception of, you know, Steve Austin's coming back to wrestle or something. And it's like, they maximized their chance for tonight. So we'll see how it goes.
Travis, the announcement that the Cruiserweight division will be on Raw, I know on my Twitter feed has been quite the topic already in the last, 12 plus hours, because I think people are listening to the Cruiserweight Classic, Mauro Ranallo and Daniel Bryan calling the action, thinking this is really helping matters. To have Mauro Ranallo especially calling these cruiserweight guys, I don't think people thought if WWE brings back the Cruiserweight division, our dream team is Byron Saxton, JBL, and Michael Cole. But Raw's 3 hours. So the bright side is Raw's going to be more tolerable if we have a full-fledged influx of international established cruiserweights. Hopefully they do more than TNA and actually treat them as human beings with personalities and not just bodies that do big spots, who garner this as awesome chance. But what about that trade-off between having Raw be better filled with 3 hours, with the three-hour format, with world-class athleticism, different than what we see with a lot of the other wrestlers. But the downside is the wrong announcers are calling it, who would be ideal.
Yeah, that's unfortunate, but I think it's one of those trade-offs that you're just going to have to deal with. I still think SmackDown gets the women's division, and I think that's going to be a storyline between Shane and Steph. I until you brought it up, I didn't think. I said it last night on Bruce and I's audio that, yeah, Cruiserweight division's going to stay on Raw, but I didn't think about the people calling it.
Yeah.
I didn't think Saxton and JBL and Cole. That's unfortunate for the Cruiserweight guys, but I'm sure they're fine being on nationally televised cable wrestling, number one wrestling show in the world. And, you know, so what? Mauro and Brian's not calling it. If they get treated with decent storylines and not fodder for the heavyweights, I'm sure they'll be fine.
Excellent. All right, let's come back after our first break here and take some of your phone calls. We welcome your calls at 646-721-9828. You can also email us at pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. We'll be back right after this. If you're like me, you've got a list of your favorite podcasts that you listen to throughout the week and also your favorite websites that you listen to throughout the week, but they don't always overlap. But in the case of PW Torch, they do. We hope not only will you listen to the PW Torch livecast every day, but also visit pwtorch.com every day for the latest insider perspective, breaking news, TV reports, live event reports, live pay-per-view coverage, exclusive editorials, and a wide range of other features. Check it out every day. It's mobile-friendly, desktop and laptop-friendly. Stay up to the minute, stay up to date with pwtorch.com. All right, we're back live at pwtorchlivecast.com. Thanks for joining us today. Raw last night, Bruce. The dynamic between Enzo and Cass and John Cena was interesting, too. There was Cena during the – and Travis, chime in on this, too. The dynamic on the promo was John Cena was going, gee, Enzo, you know, you're moving nonstop. It's one punchline after another. And Big Cass was like, yeah, that's what he does, but we're a team. It's kind of, I wasn't quite sure where they were going with what they were trying to communicate about John Cena's interpretation of Enzo and Cass. And then, wouldn't have thought a lot of it, but then the finish of the match was Enzo mistakenly clotheslining John Cena. And then they closed with John Cena on the floor, just kind of huffing and puffing, not in anger, but just sort of trying to, you know, figure out what just happened there. What do you, are they trying to indicate that, because the club was kind of selling the idea that they're unified and Enzo and Cass and Cena might not be? What's going on there headed into Battleground?
I think that's it. I think the story of the match is that you've got this veteran crew that's been together, won championships all over the world, you know, sold out buildings, all that stuff with the club. And then you've got John Cena, who likes Enzo and Cass, but is not so sure about what they are. And they've just, as you know, they just met in catering over the candy bar, as the club said. And so that, I think that really is the story of the match. Instead of, and I like this in this sense, instead of doing what they always do, which is the team that wins the tag match before the team that wins before the big match loses the big match. And instead of doing that, they just turned around and did something different. They made you think, I want John Cena and Enzo and Cass to win, but they're not together. They need to get it together, and they're going to lose against the club. So then you tell a story about, you know, in the match, either they get it together or they don't.
Raven always said, being a babyface is all about one word, Jeopardy. You want fans to believe in your cause, but you have to give them a sense of jeopardy so that they feel that their cheers and their backing you that is going to help you win. And that's a point Pat Patterson made in his book.
And every other babyface in the world. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Well not. Understood. Some people don't understand the business.
But that is definitely.
Yeah. And Patterson really stressed that he would communicate to many babyfaces who didn't get this. Not every babyface gets this.
Yeah.
It might not sound profound, but I think in its simplicity, it is when we look at some of the convoluted booking we've seen the last 20 years in this industry. The idea that the key to getting over as a babyface, even in a match, is making the fans believe that they're going to have a say so in helping you overcome the odds of the cheating or nasty heel. In a sense, they're creating some sense of this is not, especially the way Anderson and Gallows were treated, Travis, since they arrived. They have not, they've been treated like Rowan and Harper, not exactly a dominant team. And, they're insulting Anderson for being vanilla. It's just they haven't really built them up as this dominant team. So, in a way, you almost have to create a sense that maybe something will go wrong unless you kind of cheer them on.
Yeah, I thought that part of the build to that match, the 12-man, was psychologically sound. Those guys have known each other for less than a month. They have wrestled in the ring on TV zero times. Up till last night, to channel Enzo zero times. So the clothesline, the accidental physicality, at this point, it's not going to lead to Cena like cursing him out next week or being upset in a breakup kind of way because they've only known each other a few weeks.
Yeah.
It's we got to get on the same page. I wouldn't be surprised if tonight we don't see some kind of segment or maybe even a match, maybe even a six-man of Cena and Enzo and Cass in the main event versus not the club, but another six-man. Maybe not the main event. Maybe that mid-match main event. I don't think that's strong enough. But you put them up against not the social outcasts, but you put them up against a mid-level three-man team that they could get on the same page after the match, slap hands, show some cohesion, and give those three guys fans a sense of, oh, okay, they're working on things, they're communicating. So I thought everything was psychologically sound with the lead up and then the match itself.
Let's go to our first call. Again, get in line on the phone banks if you want to talk to us about last night's Raw, tonight's draft, anything else in pro wrestling. 646-721-9828. 330, you are up first. Welcome to Livecast.
How you guys doing? I'm Anthony Paul from Youngstown, Ohio.
Yes, I'm sorry, I had a quick comment too. First, my comment was that I thought last night's title match was going to end with an Ambrose win just to kind of give him that kind of like the one title defense crazy ending was going to happen at the battleground. But my quick question goes to what are the prospects of Big Cass as a singles competitor? When I hear his voice, he sounds a lot like Edge. And I see something where maybe if Enzo's were to get hurt, I don't want to say that, but if he were to get hurt, maybe him as a manager type.
So Enzo managing Cass, is that your question? Is that where we're headed, you're asking?
Yeah, if Cass were like to break out as a single star.
Sure, yeah. Well, it certainly seems, Travis Bruce, that Cass in that tag match last night, he was booked as the guy getting all the spots that the big guy who they're pushing gets. They were building up towards the hot tags that Cass got. Everything was built around, Enzo tagged in as the brave guy against Braun. He bounces off of Braun. Braun doesn't move or sell. Enzo's like, okay, time for big Cass.
Well, Cass actually tagged himself in like, okay, you're not going
to
going to treat my little buddy like that. I didn't the face off with Strowman and Big Cass was fine. I didn't like the Enzo part. He's going to be brave and run in there like a little chihuahua going after a Doberman and get nipped and then run away. And then he'll go get his big buddy and I didn't like that part of it. Cass is so far away from being a breakout anything.
Yeah.
He just has to develop. He has to have ring time. He has to get better. I just put it out of your mind as a fan that he's going to break out and be some kind of single star in the next year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I agree with that.
It just would be it would be a detriment to his own progression and to the company that wants him to be a big star.
I almost think like they need Lance Russell to interview big cast. Cause I remember from watching Memphis wrestling in the '80s, and this predated the '80s too. When I didn't see the show, there'd always be on Memphis wrestling, this big guy who would show up and tower over Lance Russell and Dave Brown and be like, and he'd get introduced. He'd be really green. And they would, you know, see, can this guy cut it on the mic? Can he cut it in the ring? And you know, it was a cheap way to let a green big guy get on Memphis television. Cass kind of reminds me of one of those guys. He's not there yet. But Bruce, does he show enough traits that he looks like a prospect to be a singles wrestler? Or this early on, if Vince weren't pushing him this way already and showing signs of thinking of him as a future star, would it be crossing your mind, yeah, this guy 2 to 4 years from now could be a top single star?
Yeah, they don't have anybody that they don't have anybody with that look and that size right now. That was a real typical look back with WCW in the 90s and WWE in the same time. But and Vince McMahon, you know, was really interested in getting him going really quickly, and that would, as Travis talked about, I think would hurt him, would not get him where he needs to be. He is green, and it's hard, you know. Big men in basketball develop slower than regular sized people and or regular sized basketball players. And
unless they go through Duke, then they're awesome.
Well, yeah, as you will find out when I come to see you in Minneapolis, you know, not even a year from now. So yeah, I think he's got something. I mean, he's got something in his talking, but his talking needs to develop. He's got something in his ring, and fans are reacting to him. I like the dynamic with him and Enzo, and the Enzo being smaller. That Enzo being smaller can have the big brother, you know, the cast comes in, Enzo gets in trouble. I wasn't bothered by what Travis was bothered by, because I thought Enzo had guts, he's crazy, gets in the ring, gets in trouble, big brother comes and bails him out, and that's a good, that's a good dynamic. And as far as later on, yeah, I think they're going to be tempted to, those two have a good chemistry even now, early in their careers. So if Cass does break out as a big star, then Enzo might be left behind a little bit, but Enzo is really a great talker. So I would still keep them alive, whether you have a bunch of, you know, what, you know, it's sort of like the way, I'm sure they're thinking this way too, sort of like the way Shawn Michaels and Big Daddy Cool Diesel were early on, where they could both have singles matches, they could both have tag matches.
And you wonder if Enzo, if there is a cruiserweight division that actually works, if Enzo can eventually just stake out his territory in the cruiserweight division. I don't want the cruiserweight division to be this place that only bland guys who do high spots work. Somebody who has a over-the-top personality like Enzo should get a push in the appropriate division. And if Cass is a big heavyweight, then let Enzo have a full-fledged career where people pay to see his matches in a division that's more suited to him, rather than becoming a jobber or a manager. I think he's good enough in the ring. Let him be a wrestler. The other option would be for him to turn heel on Cass, turn into a heel manager. There's a chance that he could be the guy who feels betrayed by Cass, left behind. He brings in heels to go after him. That could be a long term role for Enzo.
We're talking 2 years from now.
Well, that's the thing. I almost feel like he deserves to wrestle more, you know.
Well, the turn and all that kind of thing.
But I'm torn between, would that be a good role for Enzo? Yes, but he's a wrestler. Let the guy have a wrestling career. And if he's a heel wrestler, he can't really be a manager bringing heels up against big Cass. But again, I think we're getting ahead of ourselves with Cass. I mean, I just don't know that we can I think he's showing more alpha tendencies at this point. I think he's showing that he can be more look like he's more in control and less subservient to Enzo. And I think he's being coached well on that.
And he's getting used to being on camera in the big stage.
He's progressing quickly.
For whatever reason, it didn't happen as fast in NXT. Maybe it's the size, the size of the crowd.
Just maturing and aging, you know, chronology.
I just think it's the pressure of I have to get better.
Yeah.
I don't have a bunch of NXT guys in the locker room that are going to slap my hand and say great, great promo or good, or just not say anything. But when I go in the back at a Raw show or SmackDown show, there's, you know, 8-10 pair of eyes that are looking at you when you come through that curtain, ready to critique everything you do. I just think, just naturally him getting better because he's doing more, having more ring time, having more mic time, and pressure. And it's just, you know, pressure can, you know, create a diamond or whatever.
Absolutely.
From crack you.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, exactly. Right now, we do have a VIP sale going on. $1. It's our only $1 sale that we've run in 2016. $1 gets you in the door for a full month of a VIP membership. All you have to do is go to pwtorch.com/goVIP. That's pwtorch.com/goVIP. Click on, there's two links at the top. One takes you to a bunch of information on a VIP membership, bullet points on what's included in it, and lets you know what you're getting yourself into in terms of all the audio content, the new content every day, the nearly three decades of archives of audio and newsletters, plus the new newsletter each week, and an ad-free website that's mobile-friendly and desktop and laptop-friendly. All kinds of perks come with it. You can get a whole detail, a whole list of details on that, plus a list of compelling, persuasive testimonials from existing PW Torch VIP members on that page. You can also click the link that takes you right to the sign-up page, too. Choose one of the VIP memberships, and you get $9 off. And that's where the $1 comes from. If you take a $10 monthly sub, you get $9 off your first month, no further obligation. But if you're ready to dive in for 3 months or for 1 year, you can take use the same coupon code and take $9 off the 3 month or 1 year sub. The coupon code is LiveDraft, one word. Live draft. That's one word. More than 10% of you, by the way, have entered live space draft, and it did work because I knew some of you would be out there.
Oh, wow. Oh, man. Oh, pat myself on the back a little bit.
I learned that a few years ago. I learned that a few years ago. People left. I entered live draft. It didn't work. I'm like, well, you put a space in there, didn't you? So either way works, really. But live draft, one word, is for those who follow instructions well. Live space draft is for those rebels out there who want to see if they can beat the system. So live draft is the coupon code to get $9 off. Act now. This offer will go away soon. And that means if you sign up today, if you're listening Tuesday, or if you're listening on Wednesday, either way, you'll get in time to hear our draft coverage and the lead up to Battleground. Also, Travis Bryant, Bruce Mitchell, and Todd Martin, all from The Torch, will be joining me, or will be with me, I guess I should say, for the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame weekend coming up in Waterloo, Iowa, this coming week. And we look forward to that. We're going to be hosting a Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame podcast that Jim Ross was originally scheduled to host, but he's going to be held up in Europe on Friday. So I have stepped in, and Bruce will be joining me and perhaps some others for that interview with Bob Backlund and the Iron Sheik together for a podcast in person in Waterloo. That'll be taking place Friday afternoon at 2:30 Central. And you can still Google Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame Waterloo, Iowa, and get information on making a road trip to the Hall of Fame. It's an impressive Hall of Fame, Bruce. The actual Hall of Fame itself, I mean, you can lose yourself in wrestling history. They've done a really nice job with that.
Yeah, it's a place where it celebrates wrestling. It celebrates pro wrestling and amateur wrestling, and it particularly celebrates the connection between the two, the pro wrestlers who had that amateur wrestling background, who could represent as far as having the skills. And if you look around, you go, okay, there's that. And there's just one more little thing pulling you in, And it represents the history of professional wrestling with ring jackets and video and paintings and pictures all the way from 100 years ago, 120 years ago to today. I mean, and there's something for everybody. And if you're a fan of Rob Schomburger, I mean, his work is really featured there. But and then you have the chance to in a way that you might not in a huge event to talk to the wrestlers, to talk to these figures that have been around. And
Stan Hansen is among them. Yeah, I want to sneak that in. They've announced that he's going to be at the convention.
Yeah. Perhaps, or my pick for the best big man I've ever seen. And
I can't disagree with that.
Yeah, I mean, he's just, you know, and you don't see him that often. So, I mean, there's that those opportunities. And then just the people that come are knowledgeable fans from decades back to now. I mean, it's a really cool atmosphere. It's a nice place. And then Waterloo is a pretty cool place to hang around too.
It is. So it's driving distance from a lot of states in Middle America, the so-called, as a people from the East Coast and West Coast say, the flyover country. It's a great driving distance for a lot of people who live in Middle America too. If you don't want to necessarily hop on a plane and go to New York or something like that for a wrestling convention. It's a really cool location. And it's a nice drive if you want to check that out. So again, just Google Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame Waterloo, Iowa. George Tragels, Luthez, any of those names, all in combination, will get you to their website. And I do believe they still have banquet tickets available. They do have a really nice setup at the convention center in Waterloo. Okay, so we'll be covering that in person all weekend. And that's going to be part of the VIP service that we provide for our members. But mostly, I think right now the urgency is the draft and talking about the draft tonight. And we're going to talk more about that as today's show progresses. Give us a call, 646-721-9828. But again, I just want to stress, we'd love to have you as a customer, and we're giving you a chance for $1 to see what we have built up for nearly 30 years at PW Torch VIP through many different advancements in media. From a print newsletter, we did a 900 line for a while. Now we're huge into podcasting, and we get asked this all the time. Yes, our VIP podcast, 75 to 100 a month, real diverse lineup of podcasts, all will sync on your iPhone or Android phone with popular podcast apps. So just because it's a membership audio where you have a password in order to access it, it does work on iTunes and popular podcast apps on iPhone and Android. So if you're just looking for ease of use, it really works well, and you will have your phone filled with top shelf audio, real diverse lineup of hosts, along with some old retro radio shows from the early 90s and the Attitude Era. Check it out, pwtorch.com/govip. Coupon code again is live draft, one word, or be a rebel and type live space draft. All right, back to the phone calls. We go in conversation about last night's Raw. So much more to talk about. We haven't even gotten to the finish of the main event yet. If a caller doesn't lead us there, we'll talk about that soon. But let's go now to area code 616 and then on deck 310. 616, please state your name and where you're calling from.
This is Eric from Grand Rapids. I've missed you for the last few months.
Excellent. Thanks for calling.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Yeah, go
yeah.
ahead.
What do you think? Yeah, we were at the I got a story and a question. The story is we're sitting at a Subway last week when Bob Backlund walks right by there and waves hi to all of us. So when SmackDown was in Detroit in Grand Rapids, and my question is, what do you think of Mick Foley being the heel GM of Raw? And that's all I got. Thanks.
All right, thanks. Yeah, the GMs last night. That's the other big story coming out of Raw we haven't talked about yet.
Yeah.
The choice of Mick Foley and Daniel Bryan. I thought that at least they addressed the issue on Raw. Why? And I know Travis last night we were watching Raw. You left the room, and I was like, "We're going to rewind. You got to see this."
Yeah.
You know, and how they told the story. Travis, do you think they did an adequate job establishing why Mick Foley? It's sort of, I see it as a Trump and the VP thing. There's a lot of people who the Republican Party who don't want to be Trump's VP and resent anyone from the Republican Party who would be a VP of Trump, because there's all, you know, infighting going on in that political party. And I sort of saw Mick Foley justifying himself as paralleling, you know, Mike Pence, going, well, this is why I'm okay being with Trump, even though, you know, you say this and that might be true. So did they do an adequate job addressing that?
I think adequate is fine. I think they could have gone a step further. And I said this last night, Foley could have said, when Shane came up to Foley and said, hey, you know, Stephanie's a scumbag and why are you going to work for her? And if Foley could have been like, you weren't beating down my door to give me a job. She was.
Yeah.
So regardless what you think of her, she's going to cut me a check and I'm going to do the job.
But do people admire? I think the threshold's higher for a hero you're supposed to cheer.
That's why I said adequate.
For anybody who gives them a paycheck. That's not showing a lot of, I would say there's people who would say that doesn't show a lot of character to go, I'll work for a scumbag who's done all that Stephanie's done, simply because even though I'm a multimillionaire who's had tremendous success, I want more money. So I'm willing to work for her and help her beat Shane, the good guy here. I don't like that argument.
Yeah, but we all make compromises for money on who we work for.
But those who make a compromise of working for Stephanie.
What kind of person that we work for. I mean, you know.
Why are you staring down at the wave?
I just picked up on that. I don't know about this. I didn't know where that was going until I saw that Bruce locking eyes. But no, but at least Mick, I would disagree. I would have been more upset if Mick said, I'll do anything for a paycheck. I think that's what he'll say.
Yeah.
I think babyfaces say, I take a stand. I love that Daniel Bryan didn't shake hands with Stephanie last night.
Yeah.
This wasn't an Eric Bischoff, Vince McMahon hug moment where you're like, wait a second.
Or Batista's authority hug.
Yes, yes. So I think that was good. But I thought that Mick Foley saying, I saw Stephanie's rise to power, almost implying, I can manage her.
Yeah.
Don't worry. And in fact, I can't say it out loud because it'll upset her, but I think I can mitigate her evil.
Yeah.
And I thought that worked. And the dynamic with Foley and Bryan creating a rivalry, acknowledging they never wrestled, but now they're going to battle. I was worried with a setup of of Steph and Shane that it would come across as Raw as a heel brand.
Yeah.
And I think Stephanie picking Foley makes Raw a brand you can cheer for because you want Foley to succeed in spite of Stephanie. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that Mick Foley, and we talked about this on the show, but I thought that Mick Foley was the most interesting, nuanced character last night. He was the one, when I first saw the reaction, I mean, when I first saw him come out, I was like, oh, he's just there to be a stooge. He's just there to get picked on by Stephanie McMahon so that she could be even more heelish. But he really, with his body language, with his interactions with Daniel Bryan, with his interactions with Stephanie, with his interactions with Shane McMahon, he really did a good job of he had different emotions across his face. He justified why he was there with that, and he got competitive with Daniel Bryan. He got competitive with that, and you got the impression that how's he going to play even in the main event when the main event got good and you had Shane and Daniel Bryan openly cheering and just reacting and selling all the action. He was selling the action in a different way. What have I got myself into? How is this going to work? What are we going to do with this? Stephanie's going and clearly cheering for the cheater. She clearly wants the cheater to win. She grabs the belt. He's not. You don't know what he's thinking with that. It's a different level of character beyond nice guy Mick Foley, desperately nice guy Mick Foley. And I like that. I think they thought it through. I think he's thought it through. He seems to be invested in what he's doing. And I think he's going to be a really interesting part of this mix of these management people.
I'd like his part of this going forward to be like a rookie senator or a lawyer, a freshman lawyer at a firm that's just cutthroat and ruthless, where they're just in a different way because Foley's, you know, in his 50s or late 40s, whatever. He's an older man and he's experienced.
Hey.
But
who are you pointing at me for?
No, I was just gonna say
you pointed at me.
No, I did both. He's in his like 40s or 50s. He's an older man.
Yeah, he's been around. He's 30 something. Plenty of jobs.
The 30 something at this table says to the 40 something and 50 something.
I just think that would be a part of like I can make positive change, but I can only do it from the inside.
Yes.
I can't be on Facebook writing these stupid posts. They're thoughtful and thought out and very well done in some cases, but that's not going to change anything.
Right.
So if I can, and I don't know if this needs to be said explicitly, especially by Foley himself, but if they make that clear that I know I'm in for some struggles, I'm in for some I'm going to get healed on, I'm going to get picked on, but I need to try to change things, and the only way I can do it is by doing it from the inside.
Yes.
And I think that's a good angle and a good dynamic.
And then he has mixed emotions.
But here's the thing of Travis is his part going forward should be like a rookie senator or freshman lawyer at a firm who is cutthroat and ruthless. You know, that can be part of making a positive change from the inside, you know, not said explicitly by Foley, but make it clear that he's in for struggles, he'll being picked on for a change instead of and that the only way he can make change is from the inside.
Right.
That's a completely original thought. Oh, God, I just tried to do a Trump
convention. I was about to say, did you just millennium me?
Yes,
millennium me?
Yes.
Like, I just said every single one of those words.
And you both gave me a blank
stare. That's why you shut me up. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't want you to talk before, you know, because
so
I wanted to
do a joke. Yeah,
I wanted to repeat Travis verbatim. I'm typing up what Travis is saying, no, so I can repeat it. And then Bruce is going to jump in, and everyone's going to forget what Travis said, including Travis, and the joke doesn't work.
Making the cutthroat sign, like, a little intimidating.
Well, I don't get to do that very often either. You know, I do it. You never usually don't see it.
Yeah.
But those were it is absurd to say that I copied what you said, though, Travis. I just want to point that out. speaking of current events and the Republican convention and all that, what did Xavier say? He's level
21 Pokemon trainer.
So it's called Pokemon?
Pokemon Go trainer.
Yeah. Pokemon Go. So why is Gareth on Twitter saying, why are you the only member of the Torch staff who insists on saying Pokemon like you're 94 years old? Do I say it different?
Pokemon?
Pokemon? No. Am I saying it different?
You have the app.
Yeah, you played
like
the damn thing.
But
it's like watching Johnny Fairplay jump on the next, you know, cultural whatever it is, trying to stay relevant. It's like, you're doing that.
But I, And I've spent like 90 seconds on the game but nevertheless, I was curious about it. I'm guilty as charged. But what? I don't get why how I say it differently than
I don't either.
Okay, good. So Gareth, I don't know what you're talking about. All right. Bruce, do you remember your point or?
No.
Okay, I didn't think so. All right.
Well, just that Mick Foley has mixed emotions, and it shows about why he's doing what he's doing. He wants to be in. He wants Raw to win. And by the way, I want to make this announcement. I'm for SmackDown, so I will be no longer watching Raw. So you won't get any don't ask me about Raw on the. I'm for SmackDown. I'm for Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon. So don't be asking me on Bruce Mitchell Audio Show about Raw stuff. I'm not going to be watching the pay per views or if they mix the matches, I'll watch the SmackDown matches. But I have chosen. This is a fight between two teams, and you got to choose a babyface or a heel. I'm choosing SmackDown.
Yes.
I'll no longer be so. There'll be a corresponding dip in the ratings for Raw.
All right, we got to address some sponsors here. When we come back, we're going to talk about the finish of Raw last night and what it does leading into SmackDown tonight. They announced they'll have a rematch for the title tonight. We're going to see a lot of Seth versus Dean this week, Raw, SmackDown, and at Battleground with Roman thrown in on Sunday. But first, we got a new sponsor, Fan Essentials. How would you like to get all of your favorite NBA and MLB and NFL and all kinds of other sports teams? Merchandise delivered straight to your doorstep. You can do so by subscribing to fanessentials.net. Fan Essentials is a monthly subscription crate box service that allows you to get discounted merchandise, boxes and boxes, month after month of merchandise on the NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, NHL, and NCAA. You can check them out at fanessentials.net. That's fanessentials.net. And you can get 30% off your first month subscription with coupon code PWTORCH. That's 34% off. You're already getting a great deal with a ton of merchandise worth way more in retail value than what they charge each month. In fact, they find the sports gear so you don't have to. Each fan box comes packed full with some amazing gear. It also makes a great gift idea for any sports fan. So at checkout at fanessentials.net, use promo code PWTORCH to get 30% off your first month. And their website's pretty cool to click around and look at past boxes and what comes in a box. So you kind of know what you're getting into and what you're going to get for the price of a cap at an arena or a stadium. You can get a box full of merchandise. Don't be a sucker and buy it at the event itself. Use fanessentials.net and coupon code PWTORCH to get a lot more for your money.
Travis, my box will be coming here. I've already started changing my addresses for Greensboro, so I'll be getting my Duke Blue Devil stuff right here.
All right, here at Torch Compound North. PWTorch Livecast, we're here 6 days a week. Jim Valley just had Austin Idol on his program on Saturday morning. Saturday mornings, Jim Valley does a nostalgia-themed livecast throughout the week, Monday through Friday. We usually talk current events. Saturdays is a time to learn from history or look back at pro wrestling that you might have experienced decades ago. Austin Idol doesn't do very many interviews. He was with Jim Valley on Saturday, so check that out. You can also check out my interview, Dutch Mantel, Uncle Zeb Coulter's first interview since leaving WWE was right here last Thursday on the PW Torch livecast. And if you haven't heard, if you want to catch up on past shows that you didn't hear, here is where to go to find archives and also listen live to this show. Here's some details on that, and we'll be back right after this. When you're looking to tune in live to the PW Torch livecast, find out about the next episode, or just catch up on an episode you missed, go to our new website, pwtorchlivecast.com. You can select shows by specific day, specific host, and format, including a grid of our latest interviews and best of selections on the homepage. That is pwtorchlivecast.com, where you can stream our show live and listen to past shows on demand. That's pwtorchlivecast.com. All right, we're back live at pwtorchlivecast.com. Thanks for joining us here. Bruce Mitchell, Torch senior columnist for going on 26 years now, is co-hosting today in person, along with Travis Bryan from EastCoastCast.com. Travis, real quick, talk about your show a little bit and what somebody who listens to this show and some other ones at PWTorchLivecast.com throughout the week will what they might enjoy and what's different about what you do.
Yeah, what's different is it's just a bunch of conversations about wrestling in a very laid back and even raunchy kind of way. If you're a prude, East Coast Cast is not for you. If you listen to your wrestling podcast in your minivan with your 5 and 6 year olds, this podcast is not for you. But if you're a down ass G and a cool dude, and you like awesome wrestling conversation thrown in with a lot of pop culture stuff, entertainment Coast Cast, as we call it, you'll enjoy the East Coast Cast, and you have about 4 or 5 hours of the East Coast Cast to get through each week, so you can speed through, or if you're trying to get in shape, like Wade said a few years ago, if you can jog and listen to the East Coast Cast and jog and listen to the whole show, you'll probably be a marathon runner by the end of the year. But it's at eastcoastcast.com. Check out 6 years worth of archives. We're on every Wednesday at 6:30 Eastern, and we go until ungodly hours into the night. Me, Cam, and crew, check us out, eastcoastcast.com.
Eastcoastcast.com. When can they listen live? Again, talk about the day and the time that you start.
Wednesday, 6:30 Eastern. And we're live for at least 2.5-3 hours. So there's a giant window for you to call in and participate live. And then Rich and I do a VIP portion, another hour or so, strictly for Torch VIP members. EastCoastCast.com, Wednesdays, 6:30 Eastern. Tomorrow should be a special show because I am here in Minnesota. So it's we're going to be experimenting as far as setups and how that works with.
If we take a wrong turn tomorrow, we might be doing the show from Canada.
Absolutely.
If we turn left instead of right.
So, so check us out. EastCoastCast.com.
That reminds me, where are we?
All right. I think they filmed the wide segment here, but let's go back to the phone lines here at PW Torch Livecast. Bruce Mitchell, Travis Bryant, I'm Wade Keller, and you are our listeners and callers, and I can't remember who I said was next. On the lineup here. So my apologies. I didn't write it down, but we'll go to 630. Hopefully I prepared you to be on. 630, come on. There we go. State your name and where you're calling from. 630, can you hear us?
Hopefully. I wait.
Oh, that good. There you are. What have you got? State your name and the city you're calling from.
I'm AJ from Bartlett.
Bartlett what?
Illinois.
Oh, cool. All right. Go ahead, AJ. Thanks.
First of all, I want to say that I hope you guys have a great time at the convention, and hopefully, Wade, you might Periscope like you did when you were in New York. That was sort of cool to see.
Cool, yeah. We probably will. Good idea.
And my question for you is, with the 6 NXT call-ups, what do you think each of you think will be a surprise call-up from NXT?
Good question. Do you think there'll be a surprise, Travis?
A surprise? A surprise to me would be somebody like Ty Dillinger getting called up. Someone getting called up that you think is too, because I think he's fine, he's ready, but he's just not main roster personality. He's not main roster. He'd get lost in the show. Maybe with two distinct rosters, maybe not. I'm still, and my surprise, is Bayley. Not that she'll get drafted, but I think Shane will draft her early with his maybe second pick. It's what I'm sticking with that. I've been,
it's a way to, why are you sticking with it? Cause your argument is if you take her higher than anyone expects, mm-hmm. it makes her news.
Absolutely.
It says Shane knows something about this woman that maybe 80% of the Raw audience or SmackDown audience doesn't know.
Yeah.
Now the expectations are set high.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying she is positioned out of the gate as a
Absolutely.
Star.
And not just that, but what it can do for the women's division and what it can actually do for the men's division. I mean, a person, a heel like Natty or could be her first feud out of the gate. Natty's just super pissed. How she got picked. Mm-hmm. I'm sick of these, whatever. And that could be her attitude. And then a guy like Seth Rollins, I imagine Steph will pick him first. So he'll be the overall number one pick. And then he'll have absolute ground to just needle Dean Ambrose. Dean, a girl got picked over you. I was the number one overall pick and a girl got picked over you. That must make you feel like crap. And so within both divisions, I think that could be a launching point for some good storylines and some good drama.
What you don't want the GMs to do, Bruce, is do dark horse picks that make no sense when the NXT champ Samoa Joe or Finn Balor or Shinsuke Nakamura or Bayley, for that matter, are on the board. Do you think they'll do a dark horse pick, or with only six picks, does it make more sense to have the GMs actually pick the six best acts to help their show?
Well, I think that I think you can do a dark horse pick, but I think also the one thing that's different about this draft from years past is the idea that there's NXT and there's acts in NXT that have a built-in following because of fans watching on WWE Network. So I think it's important for them to start off with one of the top acts from NXT and being picked, whether it's Nakamura, whether it's Finn Balor, whether it's Bayley. Those are the three I think of more than I think of even Samoa Joe, the NXT champion. And that's, that's a big part of it. But I really do. But it also, what makes everybody do is the announcers go, oh my God, they picked Finn Balor from NXT over WWE, over the WWE ones, and we've heard so much about him. We've done this, you have that anticipation, he comes out. And then when you have a draft again, and they'll have a draft again more than likely somewhere down the line, hopefully, years down the line. But still, the whole NXT thing is who from NXT is going to make the same impact that in the first draft that Finn Balor made or Nakamura made or Bayley made? Who's going to change everything like that? So they need to do that. And I think also just adds that excitement. And once you do that, then you've got the other five picks. Who else is going to come in?
Dark horse,
right. But you've got five picks that you can make mainstream good picks. And they need to get Nakamura in this. They need to get Bayley going. They need to get Balor going. No doubt about it. And then one of those picks can be
Who's
Jose.
Your dark horse?
Jose.
Oh, No Way Jose? Okay.
No Way Jose. Yep. And even though he knocked that box of popcorn out of my hand. because you would want to have some high-level guys, and you'd want to have someone that's, like, entertaining that would be part of the mid-card, too. So, we'll see where that, we'll see where that is. Not just the high-level wrestlers, but the high-level entertainers are guys that are ready to do something to it.
In terms of having a personality, and I think maybe Todd Martin would like this pick. We can check with him later on the fix this week. Austin Aries would be maybe my dark horse pick. Since there's going to be a cruiserweight division on Raw, Aries can be a guy who can be a centerpiece personality, who can have really good matches with a wide range of opponents because of his world travels and all of his experience. But he can also...
He can be natty.
Yeah.
Natty is for the women's division.
Yeah.
Austin Aries could be for the cruiserweight division.
Yep.
I do think that they have Austin Aries in NXT to do that same job.
Right.
But if they're hiring people all over the place. So if they hire somebody who can take Austin Aries' job and then bump Austin Aries up to the main roster, I can see that.
Yeah. My dark horse pick, maybe Blake and Murphy, just throwing a name out there. I could see, besides Austin Aries is sort of a dark horse pick because I don't think he's a top six. I think the top six names, Samoa Joe, Finn Balor, Shinsuke Nakamura, Bayley, Asuka, American Alpha.
Did you mean Dash and Dawson? Or did you really mean Blake and Murphy?
I said, yeah, Blake and Murphy.
Ugh.
Well, that's why they're a dark horse pick. But because I could see Stephanie. Well, what I was trying to think of is like Mick Foley could have a thing for some team, like that, some quirky reason to draft somebody. And they just might look at the roster and go, we need a tag, we need to deepen the tag team roster because we're splitting them up. And so I'm thinking if they're trying to like preserve NXT and keep somebody there who otherwise might be, considered a top six. How do they take six names and fill out the roster a little bit? And so that's where Blake Murphy come in. They're just, I could see Vince McMahon looking at them going, oh yeah, look at them. They're larger than life personalities. They're crazy.
But
I mean,
not.
I think they have some personality that Vince could. Dash and Dawson are by design, the black trunks and black boots guys who are, not meant to be outlandish personalities. Blake and Murphy are those two obnoxious guys at the bar when your car breaks down who start making fun of the fact that you ran out of gas while they make comments about your girlfriend. I mean, that's their character, and I think Vince can see that. So anyway, it's a dark horse for a reason. I mean, they're not in my top six.
The one in your top six that I think may not come across, that may not make it tonight and down the line, who's an excellent wrestler, is Asuka.
Yeah.
Because I think, she's there in NXT to give that, to really bolster NXT and bolster the women, and I think if you do Bayley, then Bayley changes the dynamic of the women's division in a really positive way. Then later on, you throw in Asuka, and then it changes again.
Asuka?
That Japanese wrestler.
Asuka.
I just want to point out, because someone's been getting, I've been getting a hard time about my pronunciation names. I have been butchering, particularly Japanese names, for 20 years. You know, going all the way back to Wrestling Observer Hotline. I mean, I have.
Oh, it predates that.
It predates that, but in public, definitely.
Some folks actually think Nia Jax has a better chance of getting drafted than
Asuka. That's good we're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that. Yeah, yep.
Absolutely. And even though she's not ready to
roster ready. She's less ready than Baron Corbin.
Yeah, I think so. I definitely agree. And when you have the larger woman, larger than the other women, who's not showing that kick-ass intensity yet, that can really hurt them, but if you get one that can, she could be really important. They need to wait and just let her get that experience.
I think they do need to wait, but I still think that's overblown. I had this discussion, I don't know, 4 or 6 weeks ago about Nia Jax's facial expressions. Oh, you said wait,
yeah.
She looks too nice, and I thought like, no way. She looks like she's going to go in there. Like just because she has those gorgeous dimples, that doesn't mean she's it's not going to tear your head off your shoulders.
Yeah.
But that was just a very minor thing. She needs to work on a lot more than just her facial expressions while she's like beating somebody up.
Yeah. All right. AJ, do you have anything else for us?
No, I just appreciate the insight and entertainment you guys provide every week. Thanks and have a great time.
Awesome. Thanks, AJ. Appreciate it. All right. Let's go to another call here. Let's go to area code
723.
I feel like Mick Foley and Stephanie last night. You know, Bruce is trying to tell me something off air.
Sure right,
so what number do you want me to go to next, Bruce?
Let me make sure I'm right here. I got off the page, dummy. I mean me in this case.
Okay, all
in
right.
This case.
What's it start with?
732. I was wrong. 732.
732. All right, 732. You are Bruce's pick. State your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, it's Scott, VIP member, Jamesburg, New Jersey. What's happening, gentlemen?
All right. No, not too much. How you doing?
Doing great, guys. Travis, I think you have a career calling. You could be the new, hospitality director for Minnesota to get tourism up, because you're making the place look like a wonderful place to visit.
My social media. Yeah, it's gorgeous up here. It's not hard to just point a camera and shoot pristine skylines and tree lines and Lake Superior and sailboats and stuff. The scenery does the work for me, but yeah, thanks, man.
And the people.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Have you noticed the people? I mean, seriously, are the people different or here?
I like the people in that ice cream shop, the last ice cream shop, the coffee shop that we were in. Did you notice that? Kind of the Nordic people that were in there.
The coffee shop where Corey and Wade got coffee?
Yeah.
I didn't particularly.
Oh, you didn't go in.
I did. I sat. Oh, you did go in. Right next
to what'd you notice?
How did you miss that?
I mean, they were cute girls. Yes, absolutely.
I mean, the Aryan master race. Oh my gosh, I'm switching over. Holy crap, they were beautiful.
Epps paying me zero attention.
I mean, when you get to my age, you don't worry about whether they're paying you attention because they're not. you just worry about getting caught looking. So it's
All right, Scott, reeling this back in. What do you got for us?
Guys, and just great coverage this week. Everything's been unbelievable. Everyone should go VIP, especially for a buck. Real quick, last night, just the thing that really I saw that was just awesome was the crowd reaction for Daniel Bryan. And I know this is a big picture question, and it's looking at it in hindsight. But 2 years later, where we stand today, you think now, looking back 2 years, at this point now, 3 years ago, do you think that they, Vince, thinks, you know what, I really should have went with Daniel Bryan during the summer of Bryan and really went for it. When you look at where Roman Reigns is, where you look at the state of everything, do you think that big picture they would have changed what they did?
I don't think so. I think Vince has the attitude of, got to go forward. There's no looking back. That kind of nonsense. Vince McMahon does not come across as the reflective type.
Right.
True. Well, I think also, in one sense, they were proven right. One of the objections, there were so many of them, I'm not going to list them all, but one of the objections to Daniel Bryan was, he's a small guy, he's going to get injured. He can't carry the load for a sustained period of time the way a Roman Reigns can. Or a Brock Lesnar can. But still, he is retired because of all the injuries he sustained all those concussions, and that part of it is there. So I think that would be their excuse to say no, if they can look back in hindsight. But as far as you take that out of the equation, they should. I mean, I think that not pushing on Daniel Bryan in the way that fans wanted, a lot of fans wanted, did serious, maybe fatal damage to Roman Reigns. So there's other factors there too, but that frustration of, we want this guy and you're trying to shove this guy down our throat, they, you know, really did damage. And I think if they look back, they ought to go, well, if we're being reflective, we could have handled this whole situation a lot better, held off on Roman Reigns, give people their season with Daniel Bryan. Maybe things would have turned out differently, but we would have made money with that, and then set up Roman Reigns a lot better to have his best chance to succeed.
Yeah, I think there's people in WWE who think they'd be much better off if they had just gone all in with Daniel Bryan. I think Travis is right. Even if Vince, when pressed, might go, yeah, we've learned a lot. We dragged our feet. Had we gone that direction, we would have been better off. There's also the aspect of, well, 2020 hindsight is Daniel Bryan might have been near the end of his career anyway. And had we done that, you know, we might be in a worse spot because all of a sudden, you know, we're building around him and then he isn't durable enough, for lack of a better term, to last. But there's people in WWE who always knew that Daniel Bryan was somebody to push. It's why it's so strange seeing the Cruiserweight Classic, all these Cruiserweight wrestlers being signed. By the way, PWTorch.com broke the story on a lot of wrestlers who were signed. I did that on the Keller Hotline over the weekend, and then we put the story up on the website with a list of big names they were signing. That was an indication that a Cruiserweight division was a robust Cruiserweight division was part of their plans, and they announced that last night.
And it wouldn't have been part of their plans except for Daniel Bryan, even though they fought it.
I agree.
And they fought it strongly. You know, that opening up is going on. And then also, just the question is it Triple H? Does he really have his eyes open to that? And is he convincing Vince McMahon to have the same way? Or we're going to have kind of a bottleneck with these guys? Daniel Bryan and then Scott is right. I mean, when you talk about, what a babyface reaction, and what a great babyface, and having it, and he's so authentic at it because you pretty much see how he is.
Do you like Daniel Bryan as a GM, or is that a good role for him? No, he was very good on the Cruiserweight Classic. That's an understatement. Is having a babyface, two babyface GMs now, as weekly, they're going to have a weekly presence on both shows more than Shane and Stephanie. Is Daniel Bryan a good fit for that? Or is a little bit of Daniel Bryan as a non-wrestler going to go a long way? Do you think, from what do you...
No, I think it's going to give some energy to SmackDown. I think when he comes out, everybody's going to do yes, yes, yes.
Will he overshadow Finn Balor if he ends up on SmackDown?
No, I don't think so. I mean, and part of it really has to be that Daniel Bryan is booked in ways and is scripted in ways where he's using his knowledge of cruiserweights, where he's using his knowledge.
Well, he's on SmackDown, not Raw.
No, well,
yeah.
Well, you know,
I know what you're saying.
You and I haven't had that discussion, but Travis not buying my theory, but I think it's going to end up that way. Because it's not only unusual for the cruiserweights to be on Raw and not on SmackDown, but the women's division not to be paired with
Stephanie. Okay.
I think that something might happen there. But anyway, well, let's take that out. It hasn't happened yet, so it's not, and it may, you know, that doesn't mean it's going to. So but if he's booked in ways where he's talking about the wrestlers in SmackDown making he's making matches for on behalf of Shane that makes sense, and he has reasons to do it, and he's seeing through manipulative heels. He's, he's speaking up to manipulative heels, and he's not getting talked down to. He's not getting, you know, that he's competent, and then he's just being Daniel Bryan. Now, I mean, we laughed and said on the show we did last night, Travis and I, we talked about, and I talked with you about this, just giving him a 30-minute segment every night where he just goes out and he's Daniel Bryan and panders to fans because he's authentically pandering. I mean,
right.
And people really like that, and they'll probably get a good rating, and there you are. But still, that likability and then adding credibility to the other acts, I think used correctly, scripted correctly, he could be a real asset.
Going back to the original kind of overshadowing idea, I think Bryan will diffuse any of that because he'll understand I am not here to be the main attraction, the main star. I'm here for this specific role. I want to be over. I want people to like me. I want people to respect me. But I don't every number one, because eventually the yes, yes, yes stuff is going to die down, even as the GM 3 months into his role. So I think he'll, whether explicitly or through his creative wording or whatever, will let the audience know, like, I'm glad you guys like me. I'm glad you guys, I have your respect. But these are the guys you're paying to see. Mm-hmm. These are the guys putting their bodies on the line. These are the guys that deserve your cheers and boos and all the attention, and most of the attention paid to them.
Yeah.
And I think just naturally he understands that and will diffuse any of that.
And one thing I like, and I hope they don't try to turn either GM heel. But I like that we have babyface GMs. I mean, I thought not only did trying to thwart the Daniel Bryan popularity worked against them, and trying to push Randy Orton against John Cena, and then Batista, and then Roman Reigns at the same time that CM Punk left, and then publicized it. Many months later, oh yeah, you know, one of the reasons I left is they were focused on Roman Reigns, make him look good and not me. I just think so many things worked against Roman Reigns. But I think one of the things that worked against Roman Reigns, even though it was a mess from a narrative standpoint, is the fact that you were being asked to endorse a brand that was being run by two heels, Stephanie and Triple H, who were working very hard to be completely, utterly unlikable. And they succeeded, and yet you were then supposed to, on some meta level, embrace their chosen one who drove CM Punk, your favorite, out of WWE, and Roman Reigns contributed to it by coming across as a D-bag a lot of the time, which, by the way,
just is not ready.
Yeah, and that you, and I think it was you pointed out in the Seth Rollins splicing of Roman, how, my God, oh no, it was Todd Martin who said the splicing of Roman made him look so, like, such a D-bag, like such a prick. Yeah. Yes, it was taken out of context, but there's very few contexts
where that is a babyface.
Where that's a babyface demeanor. Yeah. So so they picked the wrong guy. But I think having heel authority figures worked against brand loyalty and worked against viewers of WWE giving Roman Reigns a break. Because I think they thought, yes, the authority's pretending to be against Roman, but we know that the establishment, the corporate people, Vince McMahon, are for him, and we're rebelling against him. So many things worked against him. They're hitting the reset button on a few things here. A cruiserweight division, I think, helps, and adding that to one of the shows, Raw or SmackDown, is going to help make the roster deeper, and not so you aren't suddenly staring at, well, God, if they had trouble filling 3 hours before, now with half the roster, how are they going to do it? Well, they just added 8 of my favorite wrestlers, or 8 wrestlers who I didn't even know were my favorites, and now they are. I just think they made themselves a lot better. But having babyface GMs makes you more likely to be more forgiving of a show or a push or an angle you don't love because you like the head coach who's running the team.
Right.
And I think that's a really important correction that they made last night official. Scott, anything else for us?
Last thing, I'll give you my sleeper for tonight, and especially with Daniel Bryan running SmackDown. How about Kenta or Hideo Itami? I think he's back from his injury. I think I saw he was at the shows. I think he'd be a great addition. Want to hear your opinion, guys. And then I just want to say one last thing. Enjoy your week. I really look forward to listening from the VIP membership side of things, and looking forward to hearing Tom Martin joining up with you guys too as the week progresses. Have a great time, guys. Thanks, Ken. I'll be listening.
Absolutely. Thanks, Scott. Yeah, Hideo Itami, he was on my list of potential Dark Horse picks. I think he probably, it makes more sense to keep him in NXT and do some things that they hadn't done yet in NXT. Travis, your body language says you got something to say about this.
Yeah. Hideo who, Tommy? I mean, let the guy, I don't know who the guy is. I know who he is, but man, he's just been MIA for, it seems like, since he arrived in the States. I know it was a few months in that he got hurt, but it seems like, I mean, Kevin Owens debuted the day he got injured. Or the week after Owens debuted, I remember him walking by him in the parking lot as they filmed his injury thing, and Owens looked at him like, oh, that's too bad. And it was some speculation, oh, are they going to do Owens thing? They have to keep him in NXT. They have to remind the audience who he is. He has to remind the audience what he can do. That would be,
if they bring him up now, it's sort of like TNA. Oh, look at all the big spots he can do. It's like X Division action. And I just don't think that they're going to give the real estate on the show to establish who he is.
I don't think you could do that with the big spots because people aren't familiar with
him. Right. They're not going to be invested in it.
That's part of it, too, is he was not doing well, I didn't think, adjusting to
WWE context.
And so he was trying to do so much like WWE, he was losing what made him special. And so, yeah, I think get his feet underneath him back in NXT for a period of time and show some things and then come on. And particularly if they got Nakamura, and this is partly a Japanese stereotype. I don't mean to be this way. I mean, it's almost like, you know, you got to have one token and then the other one comes in. But if you get Nakamura in, he's established and he really is doing a great job, then you bring in the next
Asian wrestler. Let Nakamura pave the way.
Then you bring in the next, and then the doors can really open for that type of action. If WWE can get over, a very charismatic wrestler, very talented, you know, arguably the best in the world, with limited English, then the next person that fits some of that and fits that role can they can come in and work with him.
Very good. All right, Doc, we're going to go to our final break of the show, during the content of the show. Brock Lesnar in the news, UFC being sold in the news, a very busy couple of weeks in the world of mixed martial arts. You can follow the daily news, including, and this is an exclusive feature that Jamie Pennick's been doing for a while now at MMATorch.com, a daily top five list. It rotates depending on what's in the news and what's going on. The top five fights of the first half of 2016. In light of the horrific skull injury last Friday in Bellator, Jamie made a list of the five most gruesome big fight injuries that occurred during fights. Top five quotes of the week, top five stories of the week, top five fights to make for Brock Lesnar after his UFC 200 win. Of course, that list was before he got flagged for a USADA violation. That story being covered every day. But it's cool to know that every day there's a top five list at MMATorch.com to supplement the news and analysis and live event coverage. That's our sister brand, MMATorch.com. Here's some more details on that. And when we come back, more phone calls. Give us a call, 646-721-9828. And one topic Bruce Travis and I will cover is the double pin, ambiguous finish, and a rematch tonight. We'll talk about Dean and Seth headed into SmackDown tonight and Battleground on Sunday right after this. We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMATorch.com, covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMATorch.com or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMATorch.com. Do you shop at Amazon.com? If so, do you know there's a way for you to support the PW Torch livecast without doing anything different other than starting your shopping at pwtorch.com/Amazon? When you go to pwtorch.com/Amazon, click on the Amazon link and you land at the Amazon homepage. But anything you buy on that shopping trip, we get a commission for. It's a way to throw a few extra quarters, maybe a couple bucks in the tip jar, as a way to say thanks for what we do here at the PW Torch livecast. So next time you're about to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and type in pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. A free, easy way to help support what we do here at the livecast. Thank you. All right, we're back live. I'm Wade Keller, joined by Bruce Mitchell and Travis Bryant. This is a PW Torch livecast at pwtorchlivecast.com. We're live 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. Pat McNeil takes over the hosting chair tomorrow. Thursday is Interview Thursday, and then Friday, Bruce and Travis back live from Waterloo, Iowa, talking about early observations in terms of what's going on Hall of Fame weekend, and then Jim Valley Saturday morning. Have you seen either of you Jim Valley's guest for Saturday yet?
No.
Okay.
I haven't.
No. Yep. So I haven't heard that yet.
He's got a lot to. He's got some pressure on him because lost an idol. He's got to top that, or he's got to like at least go even with that.
He's doing some great networking. He's really really enjoying this process. I mean, as I said, Austin Idol.
I was definitely a fan, and so that was cool that he got him.
By the way, just want to remind everybody: pwtorch.com/govip. $1 sale. The coupon code is LiveDraft, one word. We really would love to have you as a customer to try out what we do. If you sampled us a while back and money got tight or you got distracted or whatever it was, come on back too. $1 is all it costs to get a full month of coverage. There's so much going on in wrestling. It's a good chance to show off what we do for VIP members that we don't provide here at PW Torch Livecast to our free listening audience. One bonus with the livecast, or excuse me, with the VIP membership is that the livecast goes ad-free, or virtually ad-free. One slips by every once in a while that I forget to edit out or mistakenly upload the wrong show with an ad in it or something like that. But I make a real good faith effort and succeed most of the time in taking out all the ads, all the plugs, and it just moves things along quicker. You know, just for a nominal fee, you're able to support us in what we do here at the livecast. But also, it makes things easier for you because you can get right to the content that you're tuning in for without listening to the live reads and the commercials and that kind of thing. So a lot of benefits come with VIP. Again, I encourage you to check out the long list of so many things that come with a VIP membership. PWTorch.com/goVIP. Coupon code this month to get $9 off a VIP subscription that takes 1 month sub down to $1 is Live Draft. And that is happening tonight. Let's take one more. We're going to take more than one more call, probably. But let's take one more call before we talk about the finish of Raw last night. And I got some people who've been on hold quite a while. Let's go to 651 next. 651, thanks for holding. Please state your name and part of St. Paul you're calling from.
Yeah, this is Dot from Netville.
Oh, hey, Dot from Netville.
And I just... I wanted to start by welcoming Travis to the great state of Minnesota. I don't know how Bruce Mitchell crossed the border, but my question for you guys, I was hoping you could lay out the first 77 picks of the draft tonight.
Someone just tweeted me the first 77 picks in their mock draft. I'll just read off of that one and say it's mine since they went to so much work. I think a question that we can't quite go that in-depth on, but I want to turn it into a serious question, Dot from Netville. Bruce, who will be the first four picks in the draft? Raw, SmackDown.
If it even works like that, because it's like
Raw is the first.
No, but oh, they get too. Like every two.
This is great radio, but this is how I think how it would go. Raw, SmackDown. Raw, SmackDown. Okay. That's what I'm assuming. So
first four picks.
Bro. All right, first four picks. Raw being key, I think Roman Reigns is first. I think, you know, he's close enough to the end of his suspension. They're going to want the face of the company.
He won't be
on the
there
flag.
Tonight.
And he won't be there. Yeah, I know, but still. The flagship, I think
accepting
they get
on his behalf.
Yeah, accepting on his behalf as Dean Ambrose or something, or I don't know. I mean, it's like, but I think they get around that and they do it, or they just, you know, they show a big picture of his big head on the screen and that's it. And then you go, and I think following with that, you go, let's go Seth Rollins on, and this feeds into the finish of the match last night. I hope I'm wrong, but let's go Seth Rollins on SmackDown. Let's go Brock Lesnar
on Raw
because they ignored everything. So I think they're going to do.
So Roman Reigns is your first pick.
Roman Reigns.
So two out of three guys in the first pick are guys under protest.
There's a message there too, which is screw you. So yes. and the fourth one, I go with Bayley. I'll go with Bayley.
Wow, you're going with Travis.
Go with Bayley. I'm with Travis too. It's like, you know, oh my gosh, it's that big impact. It's the, you know, they like this idea that they're proactive with women, that they're women's role model, blah blah blah. And then Shane, as I kind of talked about, Shane gets that top woman in that NXT and shows up Stephanie, and that kind of adds some things too. So that's where I'll go with four.
Yeah, I think Seth's going first overall. Then I could see
Dean.
No, I think Shane could pick some, could go with Cena or something like that. Just an established guy, giant pick, should be a number one or number two overall. Should maybe not.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go Seth, Cena, Roman.
Yeah.
Stephanie picks Roman, so Seth and Roman are on the same show.
Then you have to say Bayley, because you've been saying it.
Well, I said Shane's second or third.
Oh, okay. All right. So then the world champ, reigning champ, Dean, if he's reigning champ by then?
I'm going with AJ Styles.
Okay.
As the number two.
So what does it say? This is a good example. What does it say about the draft because obviously there's politics going on. There's going to be wrestlers going, wait a second, why didn't I? Dean's your world champion. Is he?
Well, who knows? Is he?
Well, I think by unless they open up SmackDown with the rematch tonight.
Well, I saw something on Twitter that they are wrestling tonight for the title.
Right,
and
but
there must be a winner.
Right, but do you think that they're going to do that at the top of the show or later in the show? Because if they do it later, the first four or five rounds are going to be done in the draft. So right. Dean, the reigning champion, assuming they don't hold the title up tonight or something, but Dean, the most recent champ, the current champ, the held-up champ, the co-champ, whatever it is, the disputed champ, can you afford to draft Cena, AJ, Roman, and Seth ahead of the current champ without it seeming like a slap in the face, not only to Dean, but the championship.
No, I think everybody would go, oh, that's about how it works. That's about the hierarchy.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, it doesn't send the right message. Like you're saying with Bayley, I know you're not endorsing, you're just sort of saying, this is what you think they'll do.
No, I'm shrugging at the message. Yeah, screw the message, whatever message it sends. You want to get your rosters right going forward, and that kind of thing.
Without being too specific, I think Shane and Daniel Bryan are going to have a couple early picks, like a John Cena and a Dean Ambrose, or you know, John Cena and an AJ Styles. But I think it's after those first two or three picks that things get interesting. I think that's where SmackDown starts going NXT heavy. I think that's when Shane, because Miz, which is, we have the story on PWTorch.com right now, Miz was complimenting Finn Balor, kind of out of character, like, this guy's amazing. I don't know if Miz is a sort of like the political operatives who are sent to the media to promote the message of the candidate or the party, but Miz is kind of that guy. He's out there touting Finn Balor. Is he laying the groundwork? Is that a clue that, Finn's going to go early?
Let me ask you something about the cruiserweights, though. Since they've already said the cruiserweights are going to Raw, why pick any cruiserweights?
Well, but Finn Balor may not be promoted as a cruiserweight.
No, I'm not even talking about Finn Balor.
Oh, so by interrupting me, you wanted to make a point completely separate from what I was
saying. Absolutely.
Oh, good, okay.
I was more interested in my point than yours.
All right, good. Dot from Netville, do you have anything to add to our conversation?
Well, I just wanted to know when that nice Jason Powell boy is on again. I think it's great that, Wade, you finally figured out that when he's not on the show, you need two guys to replace him.
Well, we used to have Jason Powell on the show. The nice Jason Powell we haven't encountered yet, so we'll see. Once we find him, then we'll be able to answer your question.
Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net, I think we'll be back next week. That is certainly penciled in and is the plan. I think we have to see, you know, how things go over the next few days, maybe on Thursday, to see how that plays out.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much, guys. It was a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks, Dodd from Netville. Good to hear from you as always. We like to hear from first time callers.
Bowling.
All right. Let's go to 337. 337. State your name and where you're calling from.
This is Brad out of Louisiana. How y'all doing?
Doing great. Thanks for calling. What have you got for us?
Oh, I wanted to know if y'all had any plans on doing anything special after next week with the live cast out for SmackDown.
That's top secret. We don't know yet. Go ahead, Bruce.
I'm doing something special for that. I will be on the Jim Ross podcast that should drop, I think, that Wednesday. So Jim Ross and I will be talking about Iowa. We'll be talking about all of this draft stuff. We'll be talking about the pay-per-view. We'll be talking about Battleground, the pay-per-view, and where the WWE Championship is. So, yes, that's the special thing that I've got planned for. And hopefully a ton of listeners that listen to this will come and migrate over with Jim Ross.
As Shane and Stephanie said early on in the draft, we're still working on things behind the scenes in terms of how we're going to handle Raw being live and SmackDown being live. It does change. Pat McNeil's used to having guests on that aren't always talking the most current, although usually it's a current events-based conversation he has. But the Wednesday livecast takes on a different meaning because now half of the wrestlers in the number one promotion in the country are doing a live show driving storylines and pushes on Tuesday nights. And if we don't do a post-SmackDown live show, which we may or may not do, that's not set yet, the Wednesday livecast certainly takes on new importance. So we're working on that. I mean,
we gathered here this week for a live, for in person, one of our staff meetings that we have periodically. This is not the first priority on the list. It's the second one. First priority is of course discussing Sean Radican, and then there's this on it. So that's why we're all gathering from all across the country to. to work on these major issues.
Yes. Brad, anything else you want to ask us about?
That's what I wanted to know, because I wanted to see if either that or maybe I thought you were going to drop the Keller Hotline maybe later that night.
Yeah, so, I think it's almost for sure that for VIP members, I will do a SmackDown, post-SmackDown audio show where I recap the show for those who didn't have a chance to watch it, and also add analysis and opinion throughout. I think that the Keller Hotline on Tuesdays will take on that instead of doing it, Tuesday afternoon built around the latest news. And then Wednesday kind of becomes a big news day with the Keller Hotline. But we'll see. I mean, I've been asked about this a number of times, and I have a number of ideas in mind, and I haven't locked it down yet. I mean, there's only so much time, and there's a lot of good ideas on how to do this. And I think next week things are getting shaken up. And it seems like they're very serious about making SmackDown a must-see flagship show if they're allowed to, or at least a co-juggernaut. So we'll see how it goes. But you'll find out as soon as I know and have settled in on it. Brad, appreciate the call.
All right, y'all have a great day.
Yeah, thanks. You bet. The finish last night, Bruce Travis, the double pin, the count, both shoulders down, the ref counts, there's no bell, no announcement. Stephanie basically yanks the belt out of Lillian Garcia's hands, and the microphone declares Seth the winner. Nothing official. Michael Cole's commentary makes it clear it's not official. Today, WWE sends out a press release they sent out a press release to us, but they pointed us to their YouTube channel with a message saying that they're going to be having the rematch, basically continuing the match with an inconclusive finish from last night. Did you guys like that finish? I know a lot of people think, well, that's setting up the two championships, one on each brand, which a lot of people are hostile towards. Other people think it makes sense. I know you guys talked about it at length yesterday on the VIP show, but kind of summarize a little bit your thoughts
I think if you do the double pin on Raw and you have the rematch to really, I mean, clearly all hands are on deck. Actually they're not, but I mean, everything they can do for SmackDown, they're trying to do, including rematching this main event, this pay-per-view worthy main event. But once you do the double pin, that should take it off the table to do the double pin to create two championships. In other words, if Dean Ambrose and I don't think this is going to happen, but Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins both pile on top of Roman Reigns, 1-2-3, and then you give the championship to each one of them on the pay-per-view Sunday night. I think that once you've done it one time, you don't want to do it again. But I think that it's okay. I think it's okay if it leads to a definitive winner tonight that sets up everything they're doing, whether it's two championships or not, down the line. And so I am firmly in the camp of one champion that appears on that periodically appears on both shows and is not on every show defending the title every time.
Travis,
Give me the actual question again.
Okay. Well, just it was kind of open ended. What do you think of the finish last night, and where do you think it's going?
Yeah, I personally enjoyed the finish just because I suggested that was. How the finish would, the superplex off the top rope into the leg, hooking the legs. And
so what you're saying is WWE should book to make you look good. Not necessarily big stars, but
yes,
Travis Bryant. They should book to make
whatever
you look good.
Randomly think in the middle of the day that I'd like the show to end that way.
Maybe they need to touch bases a little more than they do.
Absolutely.
I mean, they do already.
Yeah, just, hit me up on Twitter, at TravLord, WWE. No, finish was fine. It was, besides what I didn't like, the actual wrestling finish I thought was fine. What I didn't like was Stephanie. It made sense. I just didn't like it. Was Stephanie just taking charge, grabbing the belt, declaring Seth the winner, giving the title to him and letting him be that final image as the show went off without at all hard selling SmackDown tomorrow.
Yep.
We'll figure this out tomorrow. Join us live 8 o'clock on USA. Something. Join us afterwards on the network.
Definitely agree with that.
Something. They did nothing to let you to hard sell SmackDown, especially for tonight. And I thought that was a weakness of the finish.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, we were just about to go to 978. He just dropped off. So let's go to 310. 310, please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Josh Melendez, and I'm from Los Angeles. Just wanted to say before I get to my questions that I have appreciated all of you guys, your comments. And over the past several months, I've found you guys, and I'm going to become a VIP member today. It is as comparable as it is to ESPN, and I appreciate the aspect of sports and the history of sports, and I've wanted to get myself back into wrestling, so I just wanted to say thank you for everything you guys do. Really puts this as one of the national pastimes, as it should be, in American sports.
Well, thank you, Josh. You win the Caller of the Day Award. There's no prize, but you're... Your prize, hey Josh, your prize is $9 off a VIP membership. Congratulations.
He already got that.
No,
he's doing something he already has.
Bruce!
I'm gonna buy lunch today. Thank you guys. So, really quick, then I was watching with my 13-year-old cousin. I'm 25. I'm an Attitude Era baby. I was watching with my cousin, who's a member of today's generation, the whole nine yards. You know, he loves YouTubers. He's into his phone all the time. Loves today's music, and not a very big fan of wrestling because, as it is, not a lot of kids are in these days. But I had him watching with me. I was teaching him all about to become a very smart wrestling fan. And we were watching last night's Monday Night Raw, and he was actually as interested as I was into it. He was very interested into Enzo and Big Cass and some of the other wrestlers. But I was interested to know, understanding the whole demographic of people like my age, people his age, and then obviously the older wrestling fans, who do you believe deserves the win the most or needs the win the most for these six-man tag team matches coming up in Battleground?
I think the club needs to win this one. And then I think you can rematch it either on television or they may not rematch it at SummerSlam, but I think the club needs to get this and then move forward with the story of getting John Cena and Enzo and Cass together. You can do that on television.
Well, I thought this was just to kind of buffer between AJ and Cena matches.
Right. Yeah. But you weave in and out.
Yeah, know? Yeah. So I think regardless who wins the six-man, SummerSlam is going to be AJ Cena 2.
Right. Yeah, right. Absolutely. Right. In fact, when I was talking and thinking, and maybe talking before I was thinking, so yeah, I think, right. I and think
then
you're
at,
right.
And then
yeah.
At SummerSlam as well, there can be Cass and Enzo and Cass versus...
The club.
Yeah, the club.
Seconds.
On television, wherever they all end up. They've got to all end up in the same place. I mean, that's, I really think that's important. But, I mean, because this is something that they're going to, and people shouldn't complain when they do. It's going to be contrived, but that's fine. Then you can also have the singles matches. You can also have tag matches. You can also have, and the singles match is going to involve AJ in a squash and John Cena in a squash. As much as we're going to get John Cena, which we're not, that's another part of this is, they've got to keep these guys together.
60 seconds.
John Cena's not there.
Yeah. This is a really fun week. And between Raw on Monday and the draft on SmackDown tonight, Bruce, Travis, you and I, as we have been doing all weekend, and we'll continue throughout the week and talk nonstop about this stuff. We'll continue to do so on the VIP side of things. And Bruce and Travis, we'll hear from you again on Friday. Pat McNeil tomorrow, the interview Thursday format on Thursday, but I do the Wade Keller hotline every single day. And I mean every single day when I say that. It's been, I don't know, two,
4 years.
Yeah. I mean, more than 4 years. I mean, like not one day off. Every day I'm talking like this about what's going on in wrestling today. Sometimes it's driven by the top news stories, insider information we get, a hot issue that I have a lot to say about, a hot button issue. VIP member questions that come across, an email that I answer on current events, and sometimes history too, but mostly current events. And I do it every single day, including reviewing Raw, reviewing big TV shows. I review the NXT shows leading up to their takeover specials. That's part of what comes with the VIP membership. Here is a final pitch for the $1 sale. It's our only $1 sale of the year. We haven't done a $1 sale yet in 2016. It's our best price. Act now. Take advantage of it. It's $1, and it's mobile-friendly. The sign-up page is mobile-friendly, so you can practically sign up start to finish at a red light. And you spend $1, and you find out what we've spent nearly 3 decades building up on the VIP side of things. It is the most comprehensive insider archives you'll find anywhere. We just put up a couple 20 years ago back issues over the past couple of days on the early stages of the Monday Night War. Brian Pillman being signed by the WWF the week that Kevin Nash debuted on Nitro. You can read our real-time coverage, just like Bruce and Travis and I talk about here on the show. We had newsletters in the 90s. We still do newsletters, but we had newsletters comprehensively covering the Monday Night War in the 90s. And as a VIP member, you can read every single one of them. And we put up a new PDF of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletters from the Monday Night War era 20 years ago on average once a week. Going forward, it is a really cool thing to look forward to every week to read what I was writing, what Bruce was writing, what the whole Torch team was writing about pay-per-views, star ratings, behind-the-scenes news in the Newswire. We had tons of sources during the Monday Night War in both locker rooms telling us what was going on politically. These have not been written about in wrestling books. They haven't been talked about on other podcasts. It's great coverage. If you're curious about what happened during that time behind the scenes with a lot of names who are still relevant in the industry today, it's a really good reason to go VIP. One other reason is our retro radio shows. John Arezzi's Pro Wrestling Spotlight, Jim Valley's Total Chaos Radio, respectively from the late 80s through the mid-90s. That was the New York Pro Wrestling Spotlight radio show. And the Attitude Era show that Jim Valley hosted with big-name guests, callers, guest analysts. I was a guest analyst on those shows on a regular basis. John Arezzi, Bruce, you were on Jim Valley's show as a guest analyst. You can hear real-time analysis, long-form analysis, just like this show, about wrestling in the 90s, early 90s through the Attitude Era when you go VIP. Here's some details on that. When you sign up, go to pwtorch.com/govip. Go to the sign-up form, and when you fill out the form, enter the coupon code LIVEDRAFT, and that gets you $9 off any VIP membership, which means a full month for $1. Thanks, everybody, for joining.
Wait. I do want to say, too, the Waco Hotline, every day for, 6 years?
Yep.
Everything that you went through, how that works, what that is, all the things that you talked about all the way through, and yet – this is what kind of value you get for your dollar. And yet all those things are not the flagship. The flagship is the Bruce Mitchell audio show, 2 hours plus every single week. That's the flagship. You can't have a bunch of flagships. You can only have one flagship.
Thanks, Travis.
And that's it. You should see the look on Travis's face right now. Maybe we could, take a picture of that look. So as amazing as it is that Wade has been able to keep that streak going and everything he puts into it, everything he said was true.
Every week, Bruce. You haven't missed a week.
Yeah. Everything he says is true and about the retro and about the newsletters and what a remarkable thing that is. But the flagship of the podcast and of the PW Torch .com all together, including the newsletters, is the Bruce Mitchell audio show.
Very good. I'm glad you heard
it. So imagine how good that is.
Yes. All right. So thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll talk to you next time. In fact, I'll be talking to you tonight. VIP members can hear us do a special post-SmackDown draft analysis audio roundtable. That'll be VIP exclusive tonight. After SmackDown, we will be putting that up on the VIP audio feed and on pwtorchvip.com for VIP members. We'll be Bruce, Travis, and I'll be recapping SmackDown and the draft tonight. So that is a reason to go VIP if you're listening to us before SmackDown, or if you're hearing us later in the week, you can catch up on what we had to say about Raw and SmackDown on our VIP exclusive ad-free shows. Here's some details, though, on before Bruce derailed my well-plotted and planned cadence to my plug. Speaking of retro radio shows, here's some more details on that. And don't forget coupon code LIVEDRAFT. As a PW Torch Livecast listener, you've probably heard me talk about PW Torch VIP membership. One of the great perks about becoming a PW Torch VIP member at pwtorch.com/govip is access to vintage radio shows that are only available with a PW Torch VIP membership. The entire run of the Pro Wrestling Focus radio show that I hosted on KFAN in the early 1990s, over 100 episodes, available when you sign up instantly. Also, on an ongoing basis, we're adding more Pro Wrestling Spotlight radio shows hosted by John Arezzi in New York, which ran from the late 80s through the mid-1990s. These shows have not been heard since they aired originally on New York radio, and VIP members have access to listen to them exclusively as part of their VIP membership. Also, Total Chaos Radio, hosted by PW Torch Livecast Saturday Morning Wrestling host Jim Valley during the Attitude Era, are also part of a VIP membership, new ones added on a regular basis. These vintage classic radio shows with big-name interviews, guest analysts, including me, on a regular basis talking about the news of the day with the hosts, are accessible when you become a VIP member through our ad-free VIP website. You can stream them right on your phone or right on your computer, but also an RSS feed that is accessible only for VIP members via popular apps on iPhone, Android, and even iTunes. Check it out. It's a big perk that comes with a VIP membership. Get details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip.
Have a blast listening to familiar voices from this live cast talk about wrestling from the 1990s through the Attitude Era exclusively as a PW Torch VIP member.